AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Welcome to the 24th episode of TuneCast Beyond, brought to you by GeekCast Radio Network and Audible.com. I am your host, Steve Junior Mike, and today I am joined by JT from Saskatoon. Hello.
Good day to you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Today we are going to jump back into the DeLorean for another TuneCast Beyond DeLorean Time episode with our heading set for 1996 in the Unincredible Hulk cartoon.
Oh, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, my God.
Second season, not with...
Okay. First of all, let me just set the record straight here. I did not start watching this cartoon for this podcast until after May the 4th. May the 4th, I went to see Avengers.
And it was awesome.
I'm kind of jaded at this point because Mark Ruffalo... and his version of Hulk in that movie, the way Hulk was portrayed in that movie, the way Bruce Banner was portrayed in that movie, was the best ever. And then I watched this shit.
It's not shit.
It is shit.
It's not shit.
It is shit. Before we start arguing with each other, let's go ahead and give the overview, the history lesson. The Incredible Hulk is an American animated television series starring the Marvel Comics character, the Hulk. It ran two seasons for 21 episodes on the television network UPN. Well, there, no wonder it sucks.
Oh.
From 96 to 97, Lou Ferrigno, who portrayed the Hulk on the 1970s live-action TV series, returned to provide Hulk's voice. The show often featured cameo appearances by characters from other Marvel cartoons of the period. In the second season, the show's format, after UPN decided the season one was too dark, was changed to give a female viewers a chance. The network ordered the She-Hulk be made a regular co-star. As a result, the series was officially renamed The Incredible Hulk and She-Hulk. The second season also featured the Grey Hulk. Oh my God.
Okay, I'm going to say it right now. When cartoons are done by committee, they always suck. And that was the second season. The first season was, yeah, it was dark, but I mean, it was very well written. I mean... a lot of the episodes, they weren't always like, you know, the Hulk saves the day and bounds off into the sunset. There were some really bittersweet episodes. I mean, that's kind of the idea of, you know, this man living with a monster sort of thing. It was a great cartoon. It reflected the Hulk, some of the best periods of the Hulk comic books.
Are you serious?
Yes, there was great stories.
Okay, maybe I need to go back and read more Hulk comics, but holy shit, when I went back so far... for this recording, I've only seen the first 9.5. I'm like midway through episode 10 of the first season.
Yeah.
I just had horrible, horrible times trying to pay attention and actually care about this series because all it is, oh my God, I need to purge myself of this monster. And then it's Hulk smash, Hulk bash, Hulk blah. And then insert Marvel character here from other cartoon, or insert Ghost Rider, who thankfully never got a 90s Marvel cartoon.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, but I mean, that was...
Cartoon sucks.
Some of the most classic Hulk tales were about Bruce Banner. You know, it's like the Bill Bixby show, Bruce Banner trying to rid himself of the Hulk. I mean, they end the first season on, you know, a pretty... I mean, yeah, it was a cartoon adaptation, so they didn't get all the major beats, but they got most of the broad strokes of the comic book story where they try to separate Bruce Banner and the Hulk and find out, well, they can't live without each other, or they're both going to die, you know. But no, this first season, like I said, the first season is the best, it's the best part of this show. And the whole with all the different Marvel characters showing up, well, that was just Marvel animation in the 90s. You really can't blame the series.
Yeah, no, I know that. And I didn't mind when they showed up. The only one I really minded on was Ghost Rider, because that made no goddamn sense. That entire episode made no goddamn sense to me. I don't mind, because I've said it before. I loved it when the X-Men crossed over into Spider-Man. I loved it when Iron Man Iron Man and War Machine crossed over in Spider-Man. I don't remember, because I only really pay attention to the second season of Iron Man, because that was the better of the two. I don't remember if there were any crossovers in that. I know they brought in Force Works and all that stuff, but I don't know if, like, Spidey or anybody else crossed over into that joke.
Technically, there was an episode in the 94 Iron Man series where Hulk guest starred, but this was...
Right. This was prior
to the Hulk series coming out, so...
Right. That was kind of like a precursor of, oh, hey, that's why. It's like, don't watch... You have to watch the 90s Marvel cartoons in year-date order. You have to watch X-Men first, you have to watch Spider-Man second, then Iron Man, and then Hulk, because if you watch Hulk before Iron Man, you'd be like, wait, why does Tony Stark know Bruce Banner?
Well, yeah, and,
you know,
I mean, just speak about that one Iron Man episode quick, the coolest thing about that, and we'll talk about it more when we get to the cast, was the guy they got to voice the leader in the Iron Man episode, they brought back to voice him on the regular with the Hulk cartoon.
Right, yeah, yeah. All right, so I vaguely remember this show as a kid. 1996, I was... too much into watching the Olympics. I was too much into watching... I think I was watching Superman the Animated Series at that point. I wasn't into... I don't even think I was watching X-Men anymore at that point. I might have been because of the fourth season and what Beyond Good and Evil was. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't... 1996, I don't remember watching a lot of cartoons. I remember maybe an episode and a half of this. And it was, like I've already, you know, grumbled about, it's like, oh, Hulk smash. I'm like, oh, God, give me a friggin' break. But what do you remember about this, you know, growing up as a kid watching it?
Well, I remember the first time I found out about this series was also, I used to read Wizard magazine, like, religiously, you know, before the internet totally took over and Garib Sheamus was revealed to be somewhat of a dick. The very first issue of Wizard magazine I ever got was basically the issue where they broke the news that the Incredible Hulk was getting this his first or second animated series. Sorry, because there was the, you know, the classic 1960s Marvel superheroes one, and first picture I saw was like just this static image of, you know, the new version of Hulk standing there with this scowl on his face. I was like, you know what, I want to watch this because the Hulk has always been one of my favorite Marvel characters, and I dug this show. I mean, the only sucky thing about this wasn't the fact that it was on UPN, and this was far from the worst cartoon that they had on UPN, was the fact that it was on Sunday mornings. And it was on Sunday mornings, and it was right in the middle of church. Now, I'm not calling that, like, you know, I'm not knocking religion or nothing. No.
I understand.
Yeah, you know, as a kid, your priorities are very skewed.
Yes.
And
church or bad Marvel cartoons? Bad Marvel cartoons, please.
I will say mediocre. I will not say bad.
I'm sorry. This series is downright awful.
Yeah. So, yeah, no. So, my dad, you know, I have to wake up, get going. And my dad would always give me crap when I'd be trying to program the VCR to
to record it,
to record it, and he's like, "Oh, you can watch it later. It's not on later." But no, I like I said when we started this, I love half of this series. You know, the first season and first episode of the second, and you know the rest can go take a flying leap. But no, I really dug this. I mean, you're like you said, we're coming off of X-Men, which by the time X-Men was over, I was kind of over my X-Men cartoon X-Men love.
And see, that's the thing. Like I, with X-Men, and I know this is not a show about X-Men, and we've already talked about X-Men on Tooncast Classic, but with X-Men, I never knew. Like in the back of my mind, I think I knew, but as a kid, I never knew there was a fifth season. I thought it ended with the Beyond Good and Evil four-parter at the end of season four. That's where I thought the series ended. And I was happy thinking that. Years later, I'm like, oh, there's a season five? Wait, what is this shit? But yeah, by 96, I was so out of my X-Men craze.
Yeah, and somewhat ironically, the fifth season kind of brought me back into the X-Men cartoon, if only because of the change in animation style. Because the first...
From being cool to being downright...
I've said this before off air with you, Mike. It's just the somewhat heavy use of shadow at times, and the fact that, you know, it just seemed really shiny to me, the art style. And that didn't jive with me. So when they came back with a somewhat more animated... animation, I dug that, but you know, we're not talking about Wolverine. We're talking about you know, the raging monster within.
Yes,
and that's one of the things that I love about the series is the fact that you know Lou Ferrigno came back. I mean, you may not agree with me on this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Lou Ferrigno is to the Hulk for me as Kevin Conroy is to the Batman. Like he is the most identifiable sort of part. I mean.
I don't disagree with that, but at the same time...
Well, I mean, you listen... Like, I love, Fred Tatasciore, I think that's how you pronounce his name, who's done the voice of the Hulk in, like, you know, the Hulk versus and the Avengers cartoon.
Right.
And all that. And he does a really good Hulk, but, I mean, he's playing the kind of, I think, late 80s, early 90s Hulk, where, you know, it was Green Hulk, but he could actually speak in complete sentences. And,
right, yeah.
You know, kind of got a little bit of the Gray Hulk in there, whereas Lou Ferrigno physically and verbally played my favorite version of the Incredible Hulk, which was, you know, the Incredible Hulk.
The TV series. From the
savage five-year-old with a temper tantrum of a nuclear level.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, because I grew up watching the live action show and only the show because I saw one of those movies and I call bullshit.
Yes.
The Hulk doesn't die when he falls out
of the plane. I agree with your statement about that Lou Ferrigno is to Hulk as to what Kevin Conroy is to Batman. However, I have to kind of disagree with you and say that Lou Ferrigno is also like Stan Bush. Wherein the fact of, and I love Stan Bush, don't get me wrong, I love the guy, but, you know, people have said, I don't say this, but other people have said, oh, BotCon's coming up. Oh, Stan Bush is attending, he must need a paycheck. And that's the way I feel about Lou Ferrigno with the Hulk, because he did the TV series, which was awesome. I didn't even really realize until I actually looked at the casting that it was him voicing the Hulk here in the cartoon. And then he did the voice in the Crouching Tiger version of the Hulk, and then the Incredible Hulk. I'm just over Lou Ferrigno at this point.
I can get that. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a paycheck for him. I wouldn't necessarily argue.
Well, Celebrity Apprentice was a paycheck for Lou.
Well, yeah, that was a paycheck for everybody. You know, Lou Ferrigno, it's kind of like how they brought the entire cast of Justice League back for Justice League Doom. You know, we're doing another Hulk animated something. You guys want to get Lou back in? Yeah, sure. You know, because Lou is Hulk. I mean, he is going to be eternally identified as kind of how Mark Ruffalo is probably going to be, because they're like Edward who?
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of dug the Ed Norton Hulk. I mean, I love it's part of the movie thing, but
I think for me, and this is kind of stemming off into the film discussion, but I think for me with the Hulk movies, you need to have one actor doing both roles, not Ed Norton doing Bruce Banner and then it be the facial the 3D rendering facial recognition of Lou Ferrigno with Lou Ferrigno's voice. You need to do what was done in the Avengers, where it's one fucking guy, not two different guys doing it.
Yeah, no, I can get that. I mean, but that kind of plays into the whole, in a way that kind of play to get one guy to play both roles. That kind of plays into the central core of the character what Stanley came up with, the fact that the Hulk is basically a Mr. or Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde analogy.
Right.
You know, because the whole, the raging beast within and all that. That was what was so great. And I mean, that's what I love about Lou Ferrigno voicing the Hulk, is the fact that, you know, he's lived this for like almost 30 years and he gets it. I mean, like in the Ed Norton movie, you know, before we get back to the cartoon, where the Abomination is like, any last words, and he says the two greatest words in the entirety of Hulk comic books. You turn into a 5-year-old. I don't care who you are when he says that. Yeah. And that was like what was great about that, is because you feel, you know, and I'm kind of exaggerating slightly, is the fact that he gets it. He gets Hulk. He is the Hulk. So that's why it sounds and feels so good when he says Hulk smash. And, you know, certainly in this cartoon, they gave Hulk almost more of a vocabulary than he ever had in the comics.
Yeah.
Which was nice, because, I mean, you got to move things along. You can't just have this mountain of muscle just, you know, punching things all the time. He's got to say something.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Moving into the cast, I'm just going to run it down. Neil McDonough voiced Robert Bruce Banner, which is so friggin' stupid. I have no idea why they put that there.
That's the full name from the comics.
Oh, it is? Okay, well. Lou Ferrigno voiced the Hulk. Jeannie Francis voiced Betty Ross. Felice Sampler voiced Betty Ross in 97. Holy hell, what the hell is Dylan doing in this show? Luke Perry voices Rick Jones.
I can't remember if this came out before or after the Mortal Kombat cartoon, but...
It's probably around the same time.
You know, and I much prefer his Rick Jones to his Sub-Zero, so...
Yeah. John Vernon is Thunderbolt Ross. Kevin Shawn is Major Glenn Talbot and Abomination 96. Samuel Larroquette and Zax. Matt Frewer is the leader. Oh, God. I like this guy as an actor. I think the first thing I ever saw him in besides Lawnmower Man was Short Time. It's a 1990 movie, I think. I don't remember. But I've seen him before, and I like his voice. I like his acting, but the leader, this is really what the Hulk has for a rogues gallery.
Well, I mean,
seriously, come on.
But okay, well, finish the list, and then I'll
the kind of giant douche. Anyway,
okay, well, just finish it, and I'll explain.
The Joker himself, Mark Hamill, is Gargoyle. Richard Mull as Abomination 96 to 97, Tom Barry as Agent Gabriel Jones, Shadow Stevens as Dr. Leonard Sampson, Lisa Zane, Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk, that was for the first season, Cree Summer came in season 2 for She-Hulk, Michael Donovan as Grey Hulk, and then they had a bunch of guest casts. You got people like Michael Bell, Clancy Brown, Jim Cummings, Richard Greco, Jennifer Hale, Dorian Harewood, Robert Hayes, who was Tony Stark Iron Man, Michael Horse. Ugh, that's a horrible last name to be blessed with. Oh my God, Kathy Ireland was in this series?
Yeah, and as one of the most unglamorous female characters.
Wow.
The Brain was in here.
Yeah, Tom Kane was Homer. Maurice LaMarche, Doctor Strange. Stan Lee was Mr. Walters. Don Lewis was the Hybrid. Chuck McCann, the Thing. Lisa Miller was Wendigo and Zax. John Rhys-Davies was Thor. Wow.
That was awesome.
That's a little strange.
Oh, come on. John Rhys-Davies, like, he's just got, like, voice. But
that's what I'm saying. It's like John Rhys, like, I've seen him in other stuff, and I just can't vision his voice in the Thor character. It just doesn't mesh well for me at all. Kevin Michael Richardson as Evil Being / Dark Hulk. Peter Strauss as Dr. Walter Langkowski. Mark L. Taylor as Dr. Donald Blake. And Simon Templeman as Dr. Doom. And Eric Vespit as John Someone and Bo Weaver as Mr. Fantastic.
So yeah, they did recycle some of the Marvel, like Bo Weaver and Simon Templeton from the FF series. And
yeah.
Robert Hayes, sorry, and Dorian Haywood from Iron Man. Now, like, just to go back to the leader, the way they portrayed the leader in the cartoon is they made him a mega douche. He was a smart mega douche, but a mega douche all the same.
Biggest douchebag in 90s history.
Whereas in the comic books, you know, he was much more of a cold, calculating asshole, but he wasn't a dick. You know, he's like, I'm the smartest guy in the world. In the comic books, it's much more like how they had the leader in the Gamma World episodes of Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, that was the leader from the comic books, you know, this super smart, maniacal, calculating supervillain. I mean, excuse me, Neil McDonough as Bruce Banner. I loved his Bruce Banner. And I'm going to say this animated series, his work in this animated series buys him a lot of freaking leeway, because he still owes us an apology for that god-awful Street Fighter movie he did.
Oh, Legend of Chun-Li?
Oh, God. I feel dirty just thinking about it. you got Bull from Night Court, Richard Mall as the Abomination. You know, I half expected him to say, it was a big rock when it was Abomination, if you know what that is.
Yeah.
You know, you had Shadow Stevens, you know, Hollywood Squares in full effect here as Dr. Samson.
Yeah.
Who I didn't really, honestly, like, I've been reading the Hulk comics for years, and I didn't really care for Leonard Samson, but I loved the Leonard Samson in the animated series, you know, because it just never came across in the comics that he had a personality.
Yeah.
At least for me. You got Billy Zane's sister, Lisa Zane, who I thought she sounded familiar because this is around the time that I saw Freddy's Dead, The Last Nightmare, and she had been in that movie.
Right.
The one, I like you said, you know, Kathy Ireland was awesome. The one voice that I absolutely loved for out of the guest cast was, because I was a huge fan of 21 Jump Street growing up, and the spinoff series Booker was, you know, have Richard Grieco as Ghost Rider. That was actually kind of cool. That was one of the ones I really did love.
Yeah.
It's odd. Like I said, the voice cast for a lot of the main parts was actually kind of cool. Like I said, you know, Neil McDonough, Lou Ferrigno as Bruce Banner and the Hulk. You know, yeah. You got guys like, you got the Dean from Animal House as General Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was probably my absolute favorite voice cast in the series, because he just brought this bluster and this swagger and just the tiniest pinch of, you know, how Ed Asner did JJJ or J. Jonah Jameson, the Spider-Man series. He brought a little bit of that, you know, that pompous windbag sort of thing to the character, which is what you needed for that role.
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
That was probably like, who is your favorite voice, you know, in this, if you have to pick one? And you can't say Mark Hamill.
I barely recognized him, but I did in certain aspects. I got to go with, where's the first voice? What the hell? I got to go with the first, the season one voice, Lisa Zane as Jennifer Walters / She-Hulk. I mean, she absolutely exuded sexuality out of her.
Oh yeah, where she trans?
I don't have as much of a crush on her as I do Jennifer Hale's Felicia Hardy Black Cat from Spidey 94, but it's up there as far as a crush. Oh, the funny thing with She-Hulk, at least in this cartoon, you're obviously better researched with the comics than I am. when they did that whole transfusion thing, she got his strength and she got some hot ass green looks, but she didn't get like, oh, I'm a monster, and then, oh, I'm a real person. It was
The way it worked in the comic books, because the original title, like when she first showed up, the original title was The Savage She-Hulk. And right. She was basically, you know, a female Hulk, you know.
Right.
She spoke and she was, you know, just, ah, Jennifer Smash, basically. Right. And the version of She-Hulk in the cartoon, this is the 1980s John Byrne sensational She-Hulk. This is the second version and, you know, the longest lasting, although she has relapsed a few times into savagery. But this is like the second and by far the most popular version of She-Hulk there is. And yeah, like Lisa Zane did a great, like, not that I don't dislike Cree Summer. It's mainly to do how it's like, hey, it's the second season and let's make girls involved in the Hulk. And
right.
You don't put chocolate in my peanut butter. Sort of thing. I loved Lisa Zane's appearances in the first season, especially that first one. She first transforms and she's like, oh yeah, you would swear to God you're listening to a porno.
Essentially, yes. I actually screen capped the shadow of her thrusting.
Yeah.
She's changing, and that'll be in the post.
Yes.
That was one hell of a picture.
Guy, and you know, you're like 15, 16 year olds when you're watching this.
Yeah.
You get a funny feeling.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. You know, I'm sitting there, and I remember quite clearly when I first saw this episode, because we didn't go to church that day. God's like, here you go, John. I'm sitting there. I'm eating my pancakes in the living room. You know, my mom hated that. I'm sitting there, and I literally forks halfway to my mouth, and I just froze for like a minute.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there, my mom's like, what's the matter? It's like, nothing. I'm just paying attention to the subtext. No, I mean, and yeah, they're probably the first time, although I didn't know it until doing research, you know, I knew I recognized the voice from somewhere before, like Michael Donovan and, you know, Kevin Michael Richardson, like, you know, a couple of the workhorses of the voice actors industry. Yeah. You know, I loved his Grey Hulk. And he pretty much, kind of like how Lou Ferrigno captured, you know, the savage Green Hulk, Michael Donovan got the great, you know, the Mr. Fix-It, you know, he's not as strong, although he can get up as that way when he gets mad enough. But that was the great thing about the Grey Hulk in the comics. It was a Hulk with a brain.
Right, yeah.
But he was a very, very conniving, very, I wouldn't say Machiavellian, but very kind of maniacal in some of his plotting and trying to take over and always be out and not let the Green Hulk or Bruce Banner back into the world. So really dug that. And yeah, it's like, they did have, like I said, a lot of the 90s Marvel animated, the strongest thing I think they had was the voice casting. It's one of the best things about this show, I think.
Yeah. 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 I will say that the voice cast was pretty spectacular. The show itself, though, not so much. Getting into the actual show here for season one. The first season begins with Dr. Robert Bruce Banner, already established as the Hulk and on the run, captured by the military after another attempt at ridding himself of the beast within goes awry. He eventually escapes and falls into the hands of the leader. This version of him is very much like the comic books, except is served by Gargoyle and the Gamma Warriors, such as Abomination, he created from Hulk's DNA. But the intervention of mutated cave-dwelling Gamma creatures, Banner's loyal friend Rick Jones, and the love of his life, Betty Ross, like in many comic book incarnations, Betty along with Doc Samson is seen here trying to find a cure for Bruce Banner, who becomes the Hulk whenever enraged. My problem with this series and with the changing between Banner and the Hulk is you flick the guy on the finger and he'll rage out. I think that's really where my issues with this series come from. It's like just throw a soda can at him and he'll Hulk out on you and kill you. That's my real, like, it takes, so far as I've seen, it's supposed to take the Hulk a lot. I mean, it's supposed to like be something really, really major to get him to Hulk out. In this series, oh no. You throw a soda cap at him and he's pissed.
It's not quite that bad. I mean, can I finish? It's not always that bad. I mean, several episodes, yeah, it's, you know, a fly buzzes him and he's like, you know, he hulks out. But I mean, you think about it, he's on the run. He's got pretty much the entire might of the U.S. military coming down on him. He's got some asshole with a giant cauliflower or broccoli head. He's like, I want your DNA. And if that isn't creepy enough as it is. But no, a lot of times, you know, it does take him a while. Sometimes it takes him a while to build up to it. Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, usually for the benefits of dramatic pacing in an animated series. I mean, I just, like I said, the first season, we'll talk about the second. The first season is the best part about this show overall because of the storyline, which was really dark. Well, not really dark, but it was, for an animated series, it was fairly dark. I mean, Gargoyles was lighter in comparison. Gargoyles had some fairly dark and pretty mature stuff in it,
right,
for a comic book series or cartoon series. But this is kind of perfectly captures a lot of the elements that fans like myself of the comic books love. Is, you know, to boil it down, Bruce Banner is nuked by his own gamma bomb, in this case a gamma reactor, which is the size of a shopping mall. He gets irradiated, saving Rick Jones. He hulks out. He goes on the run from his girlfriend's dad, and he helps people along the way, like in the live-action show, which that's basically when you boil it down. I mean, they did have really goofy episodes here and there, I'm not going to lie. But they had the Iron Man crossover episode was great, you know, because it goes back to the Iron Man episode where the Hulk gets hurt. And if you didn't know this already, the Hulk in that episode and Bruce Banner were both voiced by Hellboy.
Yeah. Oh, God. Ron Perlman.
Yes. Just wanted to text you there, Mike. But yeah, no, they had stuff that they went back to the Iron Man show with that episode. They had stuff like the episode Man to Man, Beast to Beast with, Walter Langowski / Sasquatch and the Wendigo, which is one of the first supervillain or one of the first, you know, villainous characters the Hulk ever tussled with.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, like I said, this first season, they had a lot of stuff. Like they had the She-Hulk episode. They had, you know, technically it was a three-parter at the end of the series where, like I spoke of it earlier, where they got to separate Bruce Banner from the Hulk and then they find out that it's not such a good idea. And this is the thing. This is where I'm going to break. Let's go into the second season a little bit. The only episode of the second season you should watch is the first episode. Because the second season, like we spoke of earlier, UPN's like, hey, we got to get girls watching this show. Let's put his cousin in there full time. You want to get Zane back? No, let's get Cree Summer. She does good work.
Yeah,
I
can't even make it through the first season. Like I said, I got 10, I got 9.5. I'm in the middle of episode 10, and I just can't. It's torture for me watching this show. It just is. I would
really recommend it.
Like in season two, there's no chance I will ever watch season
all,
two.
All I'm saying is, Mike, is finish out the first season, watch Hulk of a Different Color, which is the first episode of the second season. Yeah, this is the goofiness is even more in full effect in that episode. It's really the only one that matters. Because I'm going to go. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath here. Because the way they end the series in the last episode of season two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how they end it? It ends with Hulk and She-Hulk riding off into the sunset on the back of friggin' dolphins.
I can't believe that the second season won an Emmy Award for Best Audio Editing for the work on the episode of The Lost Village.
Why?
God. All right, so
season won an Emmy? The first season didn't get shit?
Yeah, that's what it says. Season 2 won the Emmy.
Oh, God.
All right. So season one versus season two. The first season was exceptionally dark in storytelling, with endings either bittersweet or downbeat, with a few noticeable exceptions. Those exceptions came in the form of the episode Doomed, where the end Jen embraces and jokes about her new state, and the Fantastic Fortitude, where it ends with the Honeymooners reference by the Thing. The darker tone, however, was reflected in situations like demonic, supernatural, motorcyclist Ghost Rider, who appeared in the episode Innocent Blood, still a relatively popular character on the comic book stands at the time. After Glenn Talbot met the Ghost Rider, he used a penance stare to his more than likely to be the Daniel Ketch version. He reflected his own bad side and became more serious and selfless. A lighter tone was introduced during the second season, reportedly at the request of the network UPN. Doc Samson was nowhere to be seen, and Rick Jones gradually vanished, as did the Gamma Cave dwellers. Betty Ross even became less of an important character. The leader, series' most prominent adversary, made his final appearance alongside the Gargoyle during Fashion Warriors, in which Betty and Jennifer Walters lead a group of female scientists clad in bathing suits to battle the leader's Gamma Mutant Warriors. The second season is regarded by many fans as inferior to the first season. Following these changes, the series' popularity dropped and was eventually canceled. Following the series' cancellation, the character returned to animation in the Ultimate Avengers series of direct-to-DVD movies. Both Hulk and She-Hulk guest starred in episodes of Fantastic Four World's Greatest Heroes. Oh God, we'll get to that. He would also later appear in Wolverine and the X-Men with Rick in the Iron Man Armored Adventures. And is also one of the main characters in Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. The one thing they left out of here is he was also Hulk, a retarded version of Hulk, was in the Superhero Squad show. And I gotta say, I know JT's gonna kill me for this, but my two favorite versions of the Hulk in the last decade are the Superhero Squad cartoon version and the Avengers movie version with Mark Ruffalo.
I wouldn't kill you for that, Mike. Hulk was one of my favorite characters on Superhero Squad.
My phone ring! Ring! I love that line.
Ring! Ring! No, Hulk was one of my favorites because, I mean, and it's really the only way that you could make the Incredible Hulk as much, if not more, of a destructive force without making him like a ravening beast.
Right.
Yeah. And he wasn't retarded. He was handy capable.
Yes.
But no, I mean, my favorite Hulk is, you know, the 96 series, followed by Superhero Squad, followed by Avengers.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I'm like, that's why I said in the last 10 years, I'm not count, like, I grew up watching, what's his name?
The Bill Bixby show?
Yeah. I grew up watching the Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno show, so I like that, but that's TV. As far as the animation goes, it's Superhero Squad, and then for the live action, it's the Avengers for me. Moving on to the music segment, oh my god. What the hell was that theme song? Did it change? Because I haven't seen season two. Did it change at all between season one and season two?
No, it was pretty much the same theme song, you know, with like the Incredible Hulk, you know, chant like that.
Yeah.
With some orchestration. The only thing that changed with the theme song between the two seasons was they added in, you know, clips of She-Hulk from the first two episodes that she appeared in season one. And then it was the Incredible Hulk and She-Hulk.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the worst theme songs I've ever heard.
Well, I wouldn't say it's not one of the best. I don't hate it. But then again, I kind of have a bit of a love affair with this show, so I'm slightly biased. I did like the intro, like the video where you see kind of like a dream sequence of Banner and the Hulk. You know, he's on a picnic with Betty, and then there's an earthquake, and they're standing on a giant star shoulder of Jennifer.
Yeah, no, I mean, the opening animation for the theme song is fine, but the theme song itself sucks. I'm sorry it does.
They could have done better, yes. But I kind of dug it. I mean, at least for, like I said, for the first season, it was pretty, I say it was reflective of, you know, everything. It's kind of dark, kind of foreboding.
Right.
So you can kind of run with it.
I guess. Moving into the legacy segments, reruns, and DVD releases, the show was briefly aired on ABC Family following the release of the live-action movie in 2003, as well as a DVD release. The show also aired on Toon Disney as part of their primetime block Jetix. The show also became the last program to air on Toon Disney. The series currently airs on Disney XD. An episode of the show was released on DVD with issue 17 of Jetix magazine. Really, honestly, you don't need the DVDs, because the DVDs are all Region 2 shit. All 21 episodes are currently available for streaming on Netflix. So, there you go. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to close the show after this.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and AnimationAficionados.com.
Grab your helmets, because it's time to assemble MASK. The Geekcast Radio Network has launched MASK Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast, covering all 75 episodes of MASK, will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. MASK Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the Bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
We are back, and we have something special for you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with the free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. So, final thoughts, sir, on The Incredible Hulk.
Well, one thing I want to mention is it didn't get a toy line at all.
Thank God.
You know, I would like to finish a thought before you're like, good God, yes, it's a good thing they didn't get toys. I wanted, like, for the longest time, I wanted to have at least one Incredible Hulk toy. I mean, I have, like, a 10-inch tall, the Marvel Select figures that are out now, which is awesome because it's the Savage Green Hulk, which is my favorite. But I mean, I would have loved to have seen, you know, some Kenner or Mattel or whoever was doing the toy lines for animated series at the time. I would have loved to have seen a toy line of at least maybe the core cast of characters and villains from this, which would have been great. But no, overall, like I've said multiple times, I love this cartoon. You know, first season and first episode of the second. The rest of the second episode, the second season can take a flying leap.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I love so much about the fact that they brought back Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk is awesome. Right. They had a really good voice cast. You know, it was dark. I mean, I was only 16 years old at the time when this came out, and I dug the dark in the stories. Like, the fact that it wasn't like an episode of Spider-Man and Iron Man where, you know, they save the day and, you know, go off into the sunset. The Hulk, you know, he's always been kind of a tragic figure, and I really dug that they actually got that part of the Hulk in the cartoon.
Yeah.
So I would definitely, like I said, definitely recommend watching the first season and the first episode of the second if you guys want to check it out. So, you know, there you go.
If you want to lose a bunch of brain cells, you can watch this series. I don't want to lose any more than I've already lost and everything else that I've had to watch. But, I don't know. I would say at least watch to the point where Jennifer Walters comes in, because that's hot. But
that's the highlight for you, Mike?
Yeah, that's where I take my cutoff, right there. It's like, okay, she's introduced, that's awesome. And as much as I wanted to watch to see, you know, hey, you know what they should have done? They should have got to the point where they introduced her, wrapped up the season, gave her her own series, or porno, whatever, you know, and just gone that way. That would have been even better. So.
Yeah. That...
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every episode post. Join in on the discussion there. You can also email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. You can also follow the official GCR Twitter. It's at GeekCast Radio. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
It's at JT from Saskatoon, all one word.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. If you have your own USB headset or microphone on your computer, go over to geekcastradio.com. On the right-hand side, there is a button that says Send Voicemail Now. You can do it directly from your computer. We hope you enjoyed this trip back in time here on TuneCast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be returning to real time as we cover, in the superhero spotlight, X-Men Emo. Oh, wait, I mean Evolution. Oh, crap. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
JT from Saskatoon.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.